listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here. Yeah, it's all right. We all have them.
And, of course, Michael Kelly here with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
We appreciate those of you joining us in the, for the live program, as well as those listening to the archives. Thank you for your time. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. As is customary, we have 9 of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded version of these 9 principles of belief, visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight, I want to talk about the subject of belief. Specifically, what are your beliefs doing for you? This is going to be a bit of a discussion, so if you have questions at all, type them in the chat room and we'll address those. But let's talk about that concept of belief. What are your beliefs doing for you? Belief is a great enslaver. It's also a great liberator. Belief is arguably the most potent force in the universe, because where we are today individually is directly related to our beliefs about life, about things, about whatever. You know, all of our happinesses, our tragedies, or our things that we don't like, situations we're in we don't like, whatever. They're all a result of beliefs, our own personal beliefs. And there are a lot of them. I mean, everything about our life is made up, and our life is what it is because of our beliefs in it, in various things. So what are your beliefs doing for you? Let's talk about several areas. And there are so many. You know, let's start with religious beliefs. If you're a religious type of person, what are your religious beliefs doing for you? It's important to understand that, you know, there's very little in this cosmos, in this world, that's right or wrong. I mean, there are certainly some things that are wrong. But aside from the blatantly wrong things, you know, the rest of it is all a matter of preference. You know, I think Henry Ford said it best, whether you think, if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. Whether you, you know, whether you can or can't, you're right, if you believe that. And that's a powerful thing. You know, if we believe we can, we can. And if we believe we can't, we can. It's all part of that belief. So all of the beliefs that we see around the world today, the social beliefs, the religious beliefs, they all started as a thought in somebody's mind at some point in the past. And that includes religious beliefs. And, you know, there are many, many billions of devout religious people. And they believe that their way is the only way. And they all believe that. Otherwise, they would be something different. And so we can see that we get into a culture, a religious culture, if you're part of that. And I was once, so I know this very well, that, oh, we knew what was right and wrong. We knew that we had the truth. We knew that this, you know, all the answers to the big questions, who are we, where we come from, where are we going? We knew all that stuff, absolutely. And we believed it with everything we had. And they all still do. And I started questioning and I thought, you know what? This is all, honestly, it's something that stinks and it's crap. Because it's just somebody's concept of reality, and yet we bought into all those beliefs, and people still buy into those beliefs, and they end up doing harm. Many, many religious people do harm because of their beliefs, because they require an essentially emotional blackmail other people, friends, family members especially. You know, if you don't believe like us, then you're not part of our family, and they'll excommunicate you, they'll get rid of you, they'll put you out of the family, whatever. I mean, that's with the most ardent, devout, religious people. So at some point, I hope, in everybody's evolution, personal evolution, it would be great if everybody got to the point where they started questioning everything they'd been taught. Because that's important. Because, again, all of the stuff we see, religious beliefs, political beliefs, all of that stuff, is stuff that is neither right nor wrong. It just is, for the most part. There's certain, again, I grant you, there's certain things that are just blatantly wrong. Murder, harming people, that's wrong. But the other stuff is just a matter of belief. And one person's beliefs does not necessarily make reality. You know, our beliefs do not necessarily represent reality. I mean, it's our reality. Your beliefs are your reality. But it not necessarily the real, you know, whatever that is. So there's religious beliefs. What are they doing for you? Are they keeping you enslaved? They kept me enslaved for 40 years. They kept me enslaved to a toxic marriage for 40 years. And that's another area of belief that you can ask. What are your beliefs doing for you? Are you in a toxic, unhealthy relationship with somebody? And it doesn't necessarily need to be an intimate relationship, like a marriage or a partnership like that. It could be at work, it could be with a friend, it could be whatever. But what are your beliefs doing for you? Especially if you are in an intimate, unhealthy, toxic relationship where arguing and fighting is the thing for the day. I mean, it's every day is the same. Well, that's not healthy. And yet you stay in that situation because of your beliefs. I know that because I did the same thing. When I was in an unhealthy alcoholic marriage, which lasted 18 years, I didn't leave it because why? Well, now we connect back to religion. God hates a divorcing. So the solution that I needed laid outside of my belief system. Divorcing was not part of my belief system. It kept me stuck. And it did great damage, not only on me, but also on Michael, who was, you know, a young lad at the time. And I stayed in that relationship way too long because of disabling, toxic beliefs. My beliefs didn't do me or him very good at the time, until I finally woke up and got out of that situation. I changed my beliefs. I left religion because religion wasn't cutting it for me anymore. Even though I was reared in it, it was inculcated in me from babyhood. Is that a word? Anyway, I was deep in it, and I left it. And I left everyone I ever knew because no longer was I going to be held captive to somebody else's concepts of reality and all the obligations that were put upon me to measure up, to stay in that toxic, terrible relationship. Now, I'm going to take a breath here, so if either one of you want to, feel free to jump in.
I would like to inject here that it's when we're born, we're, you know, obviously born into an environment and we trust the people who are giving us information about the reality. You know, we learn about fridges and stoves and all that stuff, but we also learn about belief systems. And because we are born loving and trusting, we take what they say as being real and truthful. What happens, though, as we get older, we have this, you know, the cognitive dissonance, if you will, you know, where we know something's not quite right, but we don't want to give up our love and our belief in the people who are raising us into the reality. And it's a very difficult shift to start having your own mind, trusting your own mind, feeling like you're betraying the people who care for you, nurture you, and raise you up, because you feel if you turn against the beliefs, you're also turning against the people. Most of the time, that's not true. However, it's when those people put conditions on the love that we have to rethink this. So if it helps anybody to kind of decipher the process, is when people put those kinds of conditions on relationships, like if you're not a Christian, then you can't be here, then what you believe is that loving, trusting relationship isn't really true. And I think that that's the most painful transition to go through, is that unless I go to this school, you know, they won't accept me. If I don't do this, they won't accept me. And the belief system is so deeply ingrained that you have to dig really deep. And there's no question, I've seen people nearly short circuit. And, you know, I've had my own too, because, you know, it's like a real existential crisis. But it usually isn't where you have to abandon everyone you know, but begin to put up those healthy boundaries for understanding what relationships are really about. And that's where we get into, what are our belief systems? Well, I can love you, but I don't have to necessarily do what you tell me to do, because I don't, you know, I don't agree with that. So the thing I reached is that all relationships have some kind of limitation. It's not all black or white. It's, you know, this one's a little quirky, but what a kind heart, you know, and it's, you know, I don't like that they wear hats. I feel kind of embarrassed when we're in public, but you know what? I'll suck it up because it's no big deal. It's understanding that there are certain things we can live with because they're a preference, not because it's necessarily based on a principle. So it's very hard to let go of people when you're bound to them in a reality, and the reality has to shift. That's just my contribution to that.
Good points. Michael, any comments?
Well, you know, I have to say that really since the witnesses, and since my belief was so powerful then, even as a boy, since then, since it kind of came crashing down the world that you that built up around you, since then, I've had a real hard time with the concept of belief. I've viewed it almost as a dangerous thing, in terms of it can lead us to wrong decisions. I mean, beliefs.
Sure.
Well, beliefs are essentially just like anything else. They can be good or bad, based on the person, you know, who's employing them. And you know, it's also important to realize that we can't only categorize beliefs to the more spiritual, the more behavioral. You can have equally powerful belief in a religious-like structure such as a state. You know, we see it in North Korea right now with a spiritual devotion to their leader, which is never a good thing. And, you know, beliefs shape our perceptions, how we view reality, which in turn is going to shape our behaviors. So if we have beliefs that are intolerant, that are violent, that say that it's my way or no way, you know, those kind of beliefs are going to result in bad things happening, in violence and bad actions.
Good point. So go back to the question, what are your beliefs doing for you? We talked about religious beliefs, and if they're enslaving you, it's time to rethink them. If you're in a toxic, unhealthy relationship, and you feel you're stuck in it for whatever reason, maybe you have no marketable skills, maybe you don't think you can provide for yourself, whatever the reason is, if you think that's true, then it is true for you. But if you're stuck in an unhealthy, toxic relationship and children are involved, now it just got the importance just went up exponentially. You have a responsibility as an adult to remove any children who are, by the way, the only innocent victims here, from a toxic environment, and you need to rethink your beliefs. Is it hard sometimes? It's usually hard. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I get it. I've been through it. I've been there, done that. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Of course it's hard to lose everybody. It's hard. And anytime you leave a relationship, it polarizes friendships. Some will side with you, some will side with the other, and you lose friends. Yeah. But what's more important? Your own integrity? Your integrity to yourself? Your respect for yourself, or your respect for others? We want to get away from them esteem. So let's expand on what Michael kind of intimated there. What are your beliefs doing for you regarding different ethnicities? I don't use the word race because we're all one human race. You know, there are people who are biased, who are prejudiced, who are bigots, who don't like certain ethnicities, whether it's black or Asian or Indian or African American or whatever, you know, or American, you know, or white. I mean, it's all of them. There are people who are prejudiced against other races or other ethnicities, I should say. So, what are if you have any kind of prejudice, or you have, you're judgmental toward an ethnicity, whether it's African American, black folks, white folks, red, yellow folks, whatever, you need to rethink that, because every single one of us came from the same place. End of subject, period. There is no other thing. We're all human, and we all came from the same place. So, you know, if somebody's prejudiced against blacks or African Americans or American Indians or whatever, that says a lot about who they are. It says a lot about their development. It says a lot about their evolution. It says a lot about their lack of enlightenment, because you can't argue the fact that we all came from stardust. We're all the product of the same thing. There is no better or worse. We're all equal, you know. So that's one. Mm-hmm. What about, do you have a comment before I move on?
Well, I was just going to also say that it's very important to always remember, just because somebody says something does not make it so. And when we form our beliefs, often, you know, we try to use the best information we can, but if we see something that we believe to be factual information, and, you know, we see this a lot on social media, you don't always take the time to double check it, and that can form the foundation of a belief. So we also have to be very diligent in the information we absorb. How accurate is it? Why is this true? You know, just because somebody says it, just because somebody posts it, doesn't mean that it's true.
Yep, very good. So if you are intolerant against other ethnicities, you need to rethink that belief system, because it likely came about either as a product of your upbringing or a product of just stinking thinking, inaccurate thinking, or stereotyping, or being judgmental. We all came from the same place. Let's talk about judgmentalism or intolerance toward people who are transgender or gay. You know, where is a written, other than the fictitious sacred books such as the Bible and others, that homosexuality or anything is wrong? That's somebody's belief system. Oh, it's not natural. Oh, really? Who says who? You know, and just because men have a penis and women have a vagina, that doesn't automatically make it. That's great for procreation, but that's not the only, you know, that doesn't mean that it's unnatural otherwise. That's just somebody's belief system. And I carried that belief for decades. I don't have that belief anymore, because it's not real. It's just, you know, humans are humans, and we're different. If somebody falls in love with somebody of the same sex, it's their business, not ours. And we have no right to judge them. Because why? Well, we all come from the same place. And there is no single one authority on this planet or that we even know of who has the authority to state whether it's right or wrong. Now, the religionists will tell you, oh, wait, you're wrong. God, he's the ultimate authority. Well, again, you need to rethink whether that person even exists. Because if they do, they sure don't care about humanity. Well, he's unconditional love. Really? Tell that to the little girl who's being molested by her mother's boyfriend and cries out and only to hear silence. Sorry, you got to factor everything in, folks. And I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm just trying to shake everything up. You need to rethink your beliefs and where they have gotten you. So if you have bias or prejudice or intolerance against same-sex relationships, transgender, whatever, you need to rethink it. Comments from either of you?
Oh, sorry, I was just listening.
Well, you don't have to comment. I just want to give you that option if you want to.
No, it's the beliefs are the whatever your reality is. Unfortunately, we also have a collective reality. And I think the flip side also applies, that you can't change something you don't believe in. If something smacks you right in the face, you have to believe it. I'm so notorious for saying, wow, I just can't believe this is happening. Well, that's the problem. I don't believe it. And you can't change something you don't believe in. So it really is about accepting some things that are right in front of us that we don't want to see because it doesn't compute with our belief system. So, you know, it's being able to see a matter of belief from many different angles and being able to decide your own, like your basic core values and then what you're going to believe in as you take steps through life. You know, where are you going to side? What side are you going to stay on?
Good. Michael, any comments?
Oh, I think it's all been well said. The only thing I could add is just when I hear the discussion about religion against homosexuality, it always, when I, you know, became an adult and realized, you know, that more educated, you understand the world a bit and you see that there's homosexuality in nature. You see it in Bateman's dogs and different things like that. So, I mean, it's not as if it's this thing that was only chosen because you're a sentient being that can choose to do so. That's a completely, you know, argument without merit. Yeah, weightless. So I never quite understood how that made sense to them, but not much of it does.
So let's look at another set of beliefs. Genders is one. You know, we have descended from a whole bunch of people who were enamored with, a patriarchal system, again, tied back to religion. Thank you, God, for religion. It screwed us all up. Anyway, so, you know, there's the gender thing where, you know, men earn more money than women. Gosh, what was it up until the 60s that if you were a woman, you had to have your husband's permission to open a bank account? Prior to that, decades prior to that, you know, women couldn't drive. Some countries, they still can't drive. And, of course, women's rights are still abused in certain countries, in backward countries. And it just, you know, Tracy and I watch some of these shows that are series that are depicted in the early 1900s and so forth. And it just sends me, you know, women can't do this or that. Or, you know, they, of course, back in those times, they used the term colored. You know, a black woman can't do this or can't do this, or a black man can't do this. And I, of course, I hate that word colored. You know, what color are you? White? Black? Red? Yellow? What color? You know, colored is just derogatory and hugely offensive term to me. And so you see, you know, women's rights, you know, and if you're a man and you have a lesser opinion of women, you need to rethink that belief, because women and men are equal, absolutely, in every way. You know, neither one is better. And frankly, all of us would do much better to have a good balance in the feminine-masculine, a good feminine-masculine balance, you know, the best of both sides. And that promotes more stability in life. It promotes just more stability. So if you, you know, if you are a man who looks down upon women, or you think you see women as an object, you need to get over that, because that's very close, if not the same as sociopathic thinking. Women are not objects. They are human beings with every opportunity should be afforded them as any man. You know, there's no difference. Women are equals, okay? And so that's that. Now let's reverse that for a second. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've encountered people who basically, women, who are man-haters. Why? Because some man abused them or did something to them or whatever. And you know what? That also equally infuriates me, because frankly, my life was screwed up because of what my mom and my ex-wife did. I have, just like them, I could have every reason to hate women. And I don't. I love women. And it's not women that did this, that made my life crappy. It was people. And so it's not men who made your life crappy if you're a man-hater. It's just people who are not aware, who are not enlightened, and you're only hurting yourself by having that judgmentalism toward them or that bias toward them. So you need to rethink your beliefs in that area. And, of course, if you're around me, don't ever come off as being a man-hater, because you'll get read the riot act, because I have every, I just like them, I could be a woman hater, and I'm not, because it's not women, it's not men, it's people who were mean, who were wrong, who did harm, who didn't do the right thing, who didn't take personal responsibility and do the right thing. So I'll pause again and let either of you comment.
Oh, I don't know. I got a lot of thoughts going on.
Well, good. That's what I'm trying to do. Promote people to thought.
It's you know, I think that Michael just brought something up in the chat room, you know, is, and, you know, when times have changed, you know, what was politically correct before, it's not now. And I do have to insert, when you were talking about using the word color, I think it's only white people that have trouble with it. And I think that people of color understand that there are white folks and there are people of color. and because we're a largely dominant, the powers of our westernized world are built on white precepts, if you will. So Francis said yes. And because I have a mixed family, I say this by experience and also the consciousness of my family and my adopted family. And the only thing that's, we called ourselves the United Nations, because the only thing not in my family is Asian or Oriental. So I think it is nowadays that people are hypersensitive to knowing what to do, what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there are trends. It wasn't that long ago that it was actually a correct thing to say colored people.
NAACP.
40 or 50 years ago, that was not offensive. There are certain things now that some people in subcultures take offense to. It's very difficult to know exactly what's the correct thing to say.
Well, that's
in the USA, it's okay to say Indian country rather than Native American country. In Canada, we say Indigenous or First Nations, but when I'm with my adopted family, we call it Indian country. So it's what is, you know, Errol was just saying he thinks the term colored is stupid, and Fran is saying no, it's not. And Fran is a woman of color. So, and we know that, I know that, maybe Errol doesn't know that. It's Errol is saying every human being has their own colors. And you know what? We can talk philosophically that way, but in a reality of a daily life, believe it or not, there are people who categorize. So we have a basic understanding. Oh, he says, I'm sorry, I'm clarifying. He thought it was dumb to put that in a birth certificate. But yeah, that's the way it was in certain time periods. So I guess, let me just narrow this down. That
quickly.
The discomfort is largely with white people in knowing what to do about prejudice. And that's why there are misconceptions and, you know, a lot of different things. People who are not gay don't know really how to defend people who are gay. It's the same way. So I think that in my view, having my experiences in Canada, as well as I've traveled a little bit in the U.S., it's the discomfort belongs with white people. And it's white people who need to start educating white people. And that's what I find often is my job. So
well, I appreciate that viewpoint. My viewpoint is that white is also a color. And back in the day, when colored was the common word used to describe black folks, it was a label to differentiate them from white, which in the mind of the white person, you know, they were it. And if you're not white, well, you're colored. You know, you're not white is the point. And so, you know, I don't care what – again, this goes right back to the topic at hand, belief. And so if you believe that colored is fine to use – and it's socially acceptable, mm-hmm. then whatever. Okay, to me, it's a put down. It's a label to separate human beings, and that's the only point I was making. Now, I'll let Michael make a point, and then we'll move on.
All right. Well, I'll just say to that last one that especially in the United States, especially in the South, you would see in the times of segregation, you know, whites and colors. And that's a very harsh memory. It, you know, brings a lot of pain to a lot of folks. And I think that's the original reason why a mass movement was made to change the terminology. But there's a lot of men and women of color that do not like the term color. So, it goes down to the individual. We are all of us individuals. Whatever random chaotic chance of our birth in terms of our heritage and ancestry, there is a common bond that goes deeper than that. We are all sentient creatures in this world trying to figure it out. And,
yeah,
you know, it is difficult to know. Like, for example, earlier on, I know, a few Asian friends and a handful of Asian comedians who always jump on the fact that people say Oriental. They hate it. And yet other people say it without thought, but because it's just about what an individual on a micro level determines is appropriate for semantics, and everybody attaches different emotional weightings to different words. So you're never going to have uniformity, and we have to accept that and be tolerant of it.
So good. And before I move on, I just want to inject here, if you'd like a card pulled, we're going to do that in a few minutes. So here's the thing. My point is that we're all human beings. We all have different. We're all different. You know, we don't go around saying, "Oh yeah, he's a taller, or he's a shorter, or a shorty, a tally, or shorty, or a fatty, or a thinny." You know, those we just don't throw around much like we do the other terms. We're all humans. We're all people of color, just different colors, and that's okay. It's cool. You know, and so that's the point that I want to make here. It's not about me as a white man trying to white-splain or see things in a perspective. I see human beings as one human race, one family, and we're different. And that's the beauty of us. We're all different. And it's such a beautiful thing to have those differences. And that's the point I'm trying to make with all of this. I don't think it's hard dealing, you know, with, I mean, yes, you want to try to use socially acceptable terms when describing races so you don't inadvertently or unnecessarily get people angry or whatever. I get that. But the fact is that we're all people. We're all human beings, and we're just different. So anyway, back to tie this all back together, what are your beliefs doing for you? You know, if you find that your beliefs are not serving you well, it's time to change them. It's time to reinvent yourself. It's time to change your core values in whatever the area might be. The point of this is to find that self-completeness, to be complete within yourself, to stand on your own two feet, to continue your path toward enlightenment, toward being enlightened. And, you know, we can be suitably enlightened as we go. We're working on our self-awareness and our awareness of life in general and our intolerance and, or excuse me, becoming more tolerant is what I'm trying to say, and more accepting of people, understanding that people are all different. You know, people will have their good traits and they'll have their bad traits, but as a human race, you know, we have a lot of beauty to be thankful for and to appreciate and to be grateful for. I was talking about this last week. You know, music is just one area that people really shine in. You know, a lot of beautiful music and beautiful messages that come out of that. And so we have a lot to be thankful for as a human race. And we need to make sure that our beliefs are not enslaving us, but are liberating us. Any final thoughts on this topic, Dr. Hunter?
No, I'm really excited. I just pulled a card for Fran. Sorry.
Okay, well, before we go to that, Michael, any final comments?
No, I think you put it very well. And okay. I agree completely, except for those Canadians. I don't know. There's just something about them. I don't know what it is.
All right.
I'm joking, of course.
I don't even get me started, Michael, because I could reply to that really quick. But, no, it's you know, back to what we were talking about, your reality is your reality, and it all your beliefs formed by that reality. If you're living in the suburbs, you think that's reality, and city, you know, downtown folks aren't, and country folks and city folks, and, you know, we are forming our reality. What we do have to better understand is our collective reality, and that we are, as a human species and collected with all the other species, working to live with this earth and this planet, this universe. And I think the sooner we find that, you know, middle ground of what we all are, the sooner we can get on with making some corrections that serve everybody.
Good point.
Absolutely.
So what card did you pull for Fran?
Fran, I'm really excited for you. It's the blank card. It's the wild card number 9. And it's generally speaking, on the face of this card, it says the energy at hand is outside the norm. So drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. I think, you know, to me, that card symbolizes, yeah, she said last week she got that too, you're creating your own reality based on what you believe in, right? And anything is possible. And this, I think, says, you know, it's what you want it to be. It's what you desire it to be. So reach outside your existing, she just said again in the chat room, 2 weeks in a row she's got this, is recreating a belief system and a reality and projecting for absolutely anything that you want. I think what we have to remember, all of us, is that we only dream for what we know based on our reality and what we believe in. But life has a way of kind of pushing us and stretching us beyond that belief system. You couldn't have imagined that you'd be a supervisor and then, oh my God, you never imagined you'd be a manager. And what does that look like? Because you only ever hoped to be a supervisor. Well, and in this case, we have to stretch our reality, stretch our belief system. I love this card and how we are in relation to the discussion we're having. It just makes us work a little bit harder. But really, it's deep inside of us for all the answers.
Perfect. Michael, you want to pull one for Errol?
Absolutely. And Errol, I pulled balance and order. And that's number 8. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order has been restored, adversity fades. Moreover, once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, respect for free will, and self-responsibility, self-completeness, and success will ensue. Excuse me.
So, obviously, balance and order is kind of goes right along what we've been talking about tonight. You know, about our beliefs and whether they're enslaving or freeing us. We want to be balanced and orderly, and we want to have our lives in balance and in order. And the best way to do that is to make sure that the three initial aspects of the life leadership paragon are balanced. Self-acceptance, that means you feel good about yourself, you understand that you're perfect and you're a work in progress. You know, self-responsibility. You take responsibility for your stuff and not other people's stuff. And the third one is respect for free will. You respect people's rights to be them, to walk their path. You don't give unsolicited advice. You don't try to control people. And these three create self-completeness. So that's the point of order and balance. When we rebalance our life leadership paragon, our lives improve. That's just the way it works. It just does. And it's a powerful, powerful tool. It's an elegant model to get your life back in track, to balance those, and to take your power back, because nothing happens until we take our power back. Nothing at all. We just do better when we become self-contained, self-dependent, standing on our own 2 feet, you know, have our own mind. We don't sacrifice our identity for anybody else, or we don't take on somebody else's identity through them esteem. We maintain good, healthy self-esteem. All right, so it looks like that's it for the cards, if I'm not missing anybody.
I was going to ask, since it, I have a feeling it might be a little bit. Dr. Hunter, if you could pull one for me.
Happy to.
Wait, before you do, just so there's plenty of good energy, I truly believe the Canadians are the most beloved people on the planet.
<You're> smarty. Invoke the counselor within, Michael.
All right.
Number 19. I don't know, it just kind of fit my little segment here.
It did.
There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that's right for you.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. So right. That's just I think that's just a reinforcement, you know. To you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
It is, but it fits so well with everything we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. So, by way of an announcement, we're gonna take the month of December off for the radio program to it's a busy month for most people, and for us too, give us a chance to regroup and so forth. And I would like to also state that as happened in the past. The chat room here is open on Wednesday evenings from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time. So if any of you would like to come into the chat room and interact with each other and talk about things, you're more than welcome to do that. And there might even be a chance that Michael will play an archive program from the past year or whatever.
We're going to be looking at the best of 2017, some of our more interesting discussions to play out the rest of the year.
So we won't be notifying through the email for the program, but those of you listening to the live program or the archives, you're more than welcome to come here at the same time, Wednesday evenings, 10 p.m. Eastern, and interact with each other and listen to the best of. So.
And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll still be online too those evenings to moderate the chat and to play the archive, the best of.
Yep, and I may or may not drop in. Same with Dr. Hunter, but anyway, but we appreciate everybody's support through this year, and, you know, and this will be the last live program for this year. So we appreciate your support, whether you're joining the program live or listening to the archives. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff on this program, a lot of practical life stuff. And we've, you know, there's repetition, yes, but repetition's a good thing for training and education. If you have topics you would like to hear discussed in this program, you can always email us, and we'll be happy to discuss those. You know, I try to come up with topics that I know are important to people in their life right now. And by the way, we can start the outro music, bud. And so, you know, if you have a topic that you think hasn't been really considered, and we just email us. You know, if you're a student, you know the email address. Just any of the emails work. If you're not a student, just send it to admin@icmhchurch.org. You can also contact us on the website at Metaphysical Humanism, and we'll be happy to do that. And so, and I hope that everyone has a good rest of the year. Again, thanks to everybody for your time. Thanks to Dr. Hunter for being part of this. Thanks to Michael as well. Until next year, now, the 1st of January, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great month. Good night.
And a happy solstice to everyone.
Good.
Good night, everyone.